Pull the side stick all the way back, all the way into your lap, and hold it there. In most airplanes ever built, that sentence ends badly. You'd be describing a stall, a wing dropping, a nose falling through the horizon. But in a modern Airbus, flying normally, that same input does something almost strange. The nose comes up. The airplane climbs, and then it just stops climbing, sits right at the edge of maximum performance, and refuses to go past it. You're asking for everything, and the airplane is giving you exactly as much as it can safely deliver and not 1 degree more. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about the computer sitting between your hand and the flight controls, fly-by-wire flight envelope protection, and the control laws that quietly decide how much of the airplane you're actually allowed to have. Let's break this down. Before we get into the wiring, a quick word from the people keeping the lights on in this segment. This one is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, the day you finally signed off as a CFI. These are heavy, well-struck coins, the kind of thing you actually want to hand somebody across a table, not a gift shop trinket. If you've got a milestone worth marking or somebody in your life who just hit one, take a look, AviationSoul.com. Okay, fly-by-wire. Start with the airplane you probably learned in a Cessna 172. When you pull back on the yoke, you are physically pulling a steel cable. That cable runs over pulleys, back through the tail, and it yanks on the elevator. Your muscles are moving that control surface. There is a direct, mechanical, unbroken chain from your hand to the aluminum in the slipstream. If you pull hard enough to stall it, it stalls. The airplane has no opinion. Fly-by-wire cuts that cable. In a fly-by-wire airplane, your side stick isn't connected to anything but a set of sensors. When you move it, you're not moving a surface. You're sending a number. That number goes to a bank of flight control computers. The computers read what you asked for, read what the airplane is currently doing, do the math, and then decide how to move the actual control surfaces to give you what you wanted. Here's the part that trips people up. In a fly-by-wire Airbus, your side stick is not commanding a control surface position, it's commanding a result. Pull back a certain amount, and you're not saying, move the elevator up 15 degrees. You're saying, give me this much G, this much pitch rate. The computer figures out the elevator deflection needed to produce that outcome, and it changes that deflection constantly as speed and load change. You ask for a maneuver. The airplane produces the maneuver. The data tells an interesting story about why anyone would want this. The obvious answer is weight cables, pulleys, push rods, hydraulic runs, all of that is heavy, and it runs the whole length of the airframe. Replace it with wires and computers, and you save hundreds of pounds. On an airliner flying tens of thousands of hours, that weight is money every single leg for 30 years. But the weight was never the real prize. The real prize was this. Once a computer is standing between the pilot and the flight controls, the computer can say, no, that's flight envelope protection. And that's where this gets genuinely interesting. Every airplane has an envelope. It's the range of speeds, load factors, and angles where the airplane flies safely. Too slow, you stall. Too fast, you risk structural damage or a control problem. Pull too hard, you overstress the airframe. Roll too far, you're upside down and losing altitude fast. The edges of that envelope are where airplanes get broken and where people get hurt. In a traditional airplane, nothing stops you from flying off the edge. The airplane will happily let you stall it, overspeed it, or pull the wings past their limit. Your only protection is training, attention, and the little tricks the airframe gives you. The buffet before the stall, the rising control forces, the scream of the airframe as the needle climbs into the red. Cues, warnings, but no hard stop. Airbus, starting with the A320 in the late 1980s, decided to build the hard stops in. Here's what most people miss. In a normally functioning Airbus, there are walls at the edges of the envelope, and the airplane will not let you push through them. There's a high angle of attack protection. Pull all the way back and the airplane will fly right up to the edge of the stall. Sit there at maximum lift and hold it. It will not stall. You physically cannot stall it with the stick, not in that mode. That's the maneuver I described at the top of the segment. Full aft stick doesn't give you a stall. It gives you the best climb the wing can produce, and then it guards that line for you. There's a high-speed protection. Push the nose over and dive, and as you approach the never-exceed speed, the airplane starts to gently pitch itself back up to keep you out of the overspeed. It resists the dive. There's a load factor limit in the clean configuration. The Airbus won't let you pull more than 2.5G or push under -1G. Yank the stick as hard as you want. The airplane gives you exactly the structural limit and stops. You cannot overstress the wings through the side stick. And there's a bank angle protection. Roll the airplane and let go. And up to a point it holds the bank. Keep rolling toward the vertical and the airplane resists. And if you release the stick, it rolls itself back toward a normal attitude. It doesn't want to be upside down. Put all that together and you have an airplane that, in its normal state, is extraordinarily hard to break. A startled pilot who hauls back on the stick in a moment of panic gets maximum performance instead of a stall and a spin. That is not a small thing. A huge share of the accidents that kill people in airplanes come down to somebody, for a few seconds, asking the airplane to do something it couldn't survive. Envelope protection is an engineer's answer to that. Let the human ask. Let the computer refuse. That's the promise. Now let's be honest about the other side, because this is clear, direct, and we don't sell you the brochure. Protection only exists when the computers have good information and are working normally. Airbus calls that state normal law. Everything I just described, all those walls, all that protection, that's normal law. The airplane in full song, all sensors trusted, all systems talking. But the computers are only as good as what they're being fed. They rely on air data, airspeed from the pitot tubes, angle of attack from little vanes on the nose, altitude from static ports. And if that data goes bad, if the sensors disagree or freeze or lie, the computers face a problem. They can't safely protect an envelope they can no longer measure. A protection built on a bad airspeed reading isn't protection, it's a hazard. So Airbus built in a fallback. When the computers lose trust in their data or lose enough of their own redundancy, they downgrade. They drop out of normal law into what's called alternate law. And in alternate law, most of those protections go away. The airplane still flies, still responds, but now the stall protection is reduced or gone. The hard walls come down. And critically, the airplane is now something the pilot has flown far less often, behaving in a way that feels almost the same, but isn't. There's a further step down called direct law, where the side stick goes back to more or less directly commanding the control surfaces, like a conventional airplane. No protections at all. That's the bottom of the ladder, usually seen near landing or after significant failures. Here's the honest hazard, and it's the central criticism of the whole philosophy. A pilot who has spent thousands of hours in an airplane that cannot stall may, on some level, stop believing the airplane can stall. And then one night the data goes bad. The airplane quietly hands the protections back, and the human is holding an airplane that will absolutely stall. That is, in fact, stalling, while some part of the brain still trusts a wall that is no longer there. The data on this is sobering, and it points at one accident in particular over the Atlantic in 2009. A wide-body Airbus, at night, in cruise, flew into a zone of ice crystals that blocked the pitot tubes. The airspeed readings became unreliable. The computers did exactly what they were designed to do. They dropped out of normal law, handed the protections back, and told the crew. And in the confusion that followed, a pilot held the nose up into a full aerodynamic stall and held it there for over 3 minutes, all the way down to the ocean. The airplane was mechanically fine the entire time. The stall protection that would have stopped that input in normal law was gone, because the data feeding it was gone. That accident rewrote how airlines train. It forced a hard look at manual flying skills, at how crews recognize which law they're in, at what happens to a human when the automation that's carried them for years suddenly, quietly, steps back. The lesson wasn't that fly-by-wire is bad. The lesson was that the handoff is the dangerous part. The airplane is safest when the computer is fully in charge, and it's safest when the human is fully in charge. The trouble lives in the seam between the two, in the moment where responsibility changes hands and someone has to notice. Now, it's worth being fair here, because there's another whole philosophy flying alongside the Airbus one, and it makes a different bet. Boeing went fly-by-wire too, starting with the 777 in the 1990s. But Boeing made a deliberately different choice about the walls. A Boeing fly-by-wire airplane has envelope protection as well, but it's built as soft protection. The airplane pushes back. As you approach the stall, the controls get heavy. The airplane resists. It fights you. But if the pilot in command decides, for whatever reason, that this is the moment to pull past that limit, the airplane will let them. The final authority stays with the human. Airbus draws the line and says the computer holds it. Boeing draws the line and says the human can cross it if they truly mean to. Neither one is obviously right. That's the honest part. The Airbus philosophy saves the pilot who panics and yanks. The Boeing philosophy saves the pilot who needs, in some once-in-a-career emergency, to do something the designers never imagined and the flight envelope never sanctioned. Both philosophies have saved airplanes. Both have been second-guessed after accidents. This is one of the great genuine debates in aircraft engineering, and it does not have a tidy answer. So where's this going, and who's building it? Because envelope protection isn't just an airliner story anymore. The timeline here is honest, and it's already well underway. Fly-by-wire has marched steadily down into smaller airplanes. Business jets have had it for years now. Embraer's jets, Gulfstreams, Dassault's Falcons, the newer Cessna Citations all fly with flight computers and their own flavors of envelope protection. The technology that started on a 1980s airliner is now normal in the corporate hangar, and it's reaching down toward general aviation in a softer form. You don't need full fly-by-wire to get some of the benefit. Modern autopilots from Garmin and others now include what's usually called envelope protection or electronic stability protection. Here's how that works. In a conventional airplane, with steel cables still connecting your yoke to the surfaces, the autopilot servos quietly watch what you're doing. Bank too steeply, get too slow, pitch too far, and the servos nudge. They push back against you towards safe flight, even with the autopilot switched off. It's not the hard wall of an Airbus, it's a firm hand on your shoulder. But the intent is the same idea, scaled down to airplanes a private owner can afford. Underneath the newest primary flight displays, the same philosophy is running. Watch the envelope help the human stay inside it. Look further out, and this only accelerates. Every electric airplane, every eVTOL, every autonomous flight system being built right now is fly-by-wire from the first line of code. There is no cable option. A machine with a dozen electric motors and no traditional controls is envelope protection all the way down. It literally cannot be flown any other way. So the questions Airbus first wrestled with in the 1980s, how much authority does the computer get? What happens when the data goes bad? How does the human know which mode they're in? Those aren't history. They're the design meeting happening at every advanced air mobility startup this year. Here's what I'd leave you with. Envelope protection is one of the great safety ideas in aviation, and the numbers back that up. It has quietly prevented an enormous number of accidents that never made the news. Because the accident that doesn't happen doesn't get a report. That's real. And I don't want a single word of the honest criticism to drown it out. But it changes the job. It doesn't remove the pilot. It changes what the pilot has to know. In an airplane with protections, your task is no longer just to fly the wing. It's to know at every moment what the airplane will and won't do for you right now, in this mode, with the data it currently trusts. The wall is a gift. Right up until the wall isn't there, and the whole game is knowing which of those two worlds you're in. The reporting behind today's segment leans on Airbus and Boeing's own published descriptions of their flight control laws, and on the official accident investigation from that 2009 Atlantic loss, which remains some of the most important reading in the business. If you want the show notes and the segments you missed, they're at RadioHangar.com. Know your airplane, know which law you're flying in, and the next time a computer tells you no, take a second to understand why before you decide it's wrong. This is Vector. Fly smart.